Second and two for the Pats. Myers in motion left to right. Shotgun snap to Newton on the read. Cam keeps. He runs to the right side across the 40, 45, 50. And Newton on his feet to the open field 40, 35, 30. One man to beat with a stutter step. He slips the hit at the 15 and eventually is tracked down. Brought to the turf at the 14-yard line. Bryce Hager, a linebacker in pursuit for the Jets, assists on the tackle.
That's one hell of a run right here by Cam Newton.
Time for the New England 4 rushing update. Bob Sosie, Scott Zolak with the call of Cam Newton's longest run of the day, 49 yards. Cam Newton rushed for 79 yards on the day. Patriots as a team, 166 yards on 29 carries. That's brought to you by your New England 4 dealers, where it's the final days of the Ford Built for the Holidays sales event. Your last chance for the best deals of the season across the Ford lineup. Jim Murray, Joe Murray here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports and Patriots Radio Network. We're also joined by Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Patriots defeat the Jets 28-14. They finish the season 7-9, Greg. But I'm more interested in talking about this Cam Newton story from Adam Schefter, which we learned about heading into the game, where he says that both parties are going to part ways, they're good with it, and that's going to end. And then that seemingly is contradicted by Bill Belichick in the postgame. He's a little snippy about it. And now I think we've seen deleted tweets about this from Adam Schefter. What happened here? Why is now Schefter and others like running from this story?
Oh, look who decided to work today. Look at you. I had to bust your chops.
Yeah, that's all right.
You guys are going to have to fill me in because you guys, obviously Joe is for sure, a lot more active on Twitter on game day mornings than I am. Did Schefter tweet this out? Because all I saw was, I saw a report on the ESPN pregame show where he basically said this, but did he tweet it out also?
I think it was more of an ESPN, like NFL, that's all I saw, and I have only seen like screen caps of that. I don't know if Schefter himself actually put it out. There's been some miscommunication about that.
Well, I'll give you sort of my read on it, and this is, you know, my sort of media read on this. So I saw Schefter's report and, well, whatever it was. And I do think that there was a report in there where he alluded to the fact, I'm just looking for it right now, but basically he alluded to the fact that both sides have had a good time. They are going to go their separate ways, basically. And that seemed like a report to me. Other stuff in there was sort of, he said something like, we've seen the Patriots, the way Cam Newton has talked about it, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. So I think some of that was opinion. I do think that there was some reporting in there. And then what was interesting that in Belichick's postgame press conference, when he was asked about it, Belichick's initial response was, I don't think that's what Adam reported. And I thought that was interesting because obviously he's in tune to what's being said. If he didn't have any direct input on what was being said. So my read on that was that Bill heard what he said and he took it as, you know, maybe Bill told Adam or somebody for Bill told Adam, look, you can't report anything, but just, you know, on background, you know, yeah, it looks like, you know, I've talked to Cam, you know, we're probably going to part ways. And so I think Belichick's trying to be a little bit technical with and sort of thread the needle on what Schefter talked about. But I don't think anybody can deny the intention of what Adam reported. And I have all the respect in the world for Adam, and I know he probably got it right. But maybe it just didn't come out exactly the way Bill wanted to, and everybody's trying to fix that a little bit.
Do you think Cam Newton looked like someone who was playing his last game with the Patriots today?
Yep, absolutely. I thought this was almost a Bill Belichick kiss the baby, you know, get him feeling good, highlight him. I mean, they threw a freaking touchdown pass to him. I mean, about the only thing he didn't do probably was bring out the water bottles at halftime. I mean, they got him involved in a number of different ways in this game. And I think it was one big parting gift for Cam Newton.
Was there anything from this game, Greg, or the last couple of weeks? I mean, granted, it was an awful game against the Bills, but anything you've seen these last two, maybe three games that are positives for this team heading into 2021 that you've seen?
good question. I mean, I don't really take anything out of this game. I mean, look, you know, it was nice that Devin Asiasi got his first catch and caught a touchdown pass. So we know that he's capable of doing those things. I thought Belichick's sort of deep dive, being asked about Asiasi in the post game, and, you know, he was getting typically a, you know, hey, Devin Asiasi actually, you know, showed up today, caught a couple passes. Can, you know, he use this as a springboard into next year? And Belichick's basically whole answer, while not specific to Devin Asiasi, was basically like, this kid has a long ways to go. Basically, don't read anything into what you saw today. He needs to do a lot of the little things right if he even has a chance to be on this team next year. So, you know, I definitely took that out of today's game. But it was, you know, it was positive that he, you know, he caught the ball. I thought Jakobi Meyers sort of down the stretch in this season really made a run at, say, a number three or a number four role on this team, you know, basically probably as he could very well be the only wide receiver to continue on with this team if they actually do real work in the offseason. And yes, I do include N'Keal Harry in that. So I thought he really solidified himself as being a piece for this team moving forward. And I thought, you know, look, Chase Winovich did a really nice job today. He was really active. He didn't show anything that he hasn't shown us to this point. We all know that he can get after the passer and he can rush on stunts with the best of them. He could be disruptive. But the big thing for him is, how is he going to become a three-down player on this team? Is it going to be on the edge? Are the Patriots ever going to trust him? Or, you know, and we've talked about this before, you know, do they move him inside next year? Does he maybe cut a little bit of weight instead of bulking up to be on the edge where he kind of loses his athletic ability? Do they sort of look at it and say, you know what, if you trim down a little bit, you could be even better at inside linebacker. Now you're on the field for three downs. Then we can do some things pass rushing with you, and we solve some of our inside linebacker stuff. You know, that might be the better way. But there's no question that Chase has been impactful whenever he gets a chance. It's just those chances haven't come a lot.
All right, we'll get more with Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com coming up. If you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. Greg, brought to you by New England Dairy and Chase Winovich. New England Dairy, Chase Winovich have teamed up for Home Fridge Advantage. A little tough to say. Home Fridge Advantage. After every home game, the dairy farmers in New England donate 100 gallons of milk to help fuel families in need. So far, they donated 500 gallons of milk. Get more details at NewEnglandDairy.com. Again, more coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal here on the Shaw's Patriots post-game show on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Bob Soucy, the voice of New England football. If you want to know how my voice stays in peak condition, look no further than my cup of Bigelow tea next to me in the booth. It's an essential part of my daily routine. And when it comes to tea, settling is not an option. Bigelow tea, grab a mug and tee proudly.
Darnold with a play fake and a deep drop. Oh, Darnold with time. Throws down the right side. Too tall. Picked off by J.C. Jackson. Coming back to the far side right at the 50. Jackson cuts outside at the 45 of New York. And then as he sheds a tackler, he hops out of bounds. J.C. Jackson with a 9th interception. And his second against the Jets this year runs it back into Jets territory.
J.C. Jackson's 9th interception of the season, highlighting the Avidia Bank turnover recap. Avidia Bank and Stephon Gilmore teaming up for Be a Champion for a Child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. New England's defense forcing 2 turnovers, so Avidia Bank donated $2,000 to help at-risk children. They donated $23,000 this season. Avidia Bank, honest to goodness, they're member FDIC, member DIF. Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and joined by Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Greg, just a short time ago, I saw ESPN's Adam Schefter tweeted that the Panthers requested permission to interview Patriots Director of Player Personnel Nick Caserio for their GM job, per league source. We all know there's going to be a lot of change on the roster. That's a given. So do you also think there's going to be the proverbial brain drain as well this offseason?
As of right now, I would probably say no. You know, first of all, I don't know what the situation is with Nick's contract. I mean, we just went through this with the Texans. Yeah. What was that last year?
I think these last 2 years. Yeah.
And so he, at that time, he got a contract extension to re-up with the Patriots. And at least part of his contract when the Texans came calling was Nick couldn't interview with anybody else. I mean, the Patriots can always give permission, but they don't have to. I think Belichick has a lot of respect for Matt Rhule, and I'm sure the Panthers are going through the proper channels. But unless something changed, I think the Patriots can turn that down. I don't even know if that's something that Caserio is interested in. I think that sort of going through some of the processes in the past few years, I think that Caserio may have sort of come to the realization that he's better as a number two instead of you know, a lead dog. But then again, going to the Panthers, it's Matt Rhule's operation, so it's almost similar. It's almost set up similar, even though they don't really talk about it. It's set up very similar to the Patriots. Now, the thing that could be a curveball in all this is Nick frustrated with any maybe lack of voice that he has had in the Patriots personnel and how it's gotten here? You know, Burt Breer had his report earlier this week sort of on similar topics about their personnel and some of that some people have left because they haven't liked their input. Is Nick there? Does he feel the same way? That he could persuade Belichick to say, like, you know, I think it's better if I go someplace else. Bill doesn't have to let him go. As far as McDaniels and, you know, possible brain drain there, you know, all eyes are on the Chargers, whether they make a move. If they don't make a move, that's one less spot for McDaniels. And then the Jaguars are really, in my opinion, the Chargers and the Jaguars, as of right now, are the only real jobs that I think McDaniels would consider due to the young quarterback setup, sort of where the organizations are, his ability to influence what's going on there, how they're aligned. I think he would like the situations there. I don't think he would like it in other places. Plus, I don't know. I doubt the Texans and the Lions are going to go the Patriots route again. So those are the two. Those two options could be eliminated very early here. I mean, if the Chargers come out tomorrow and say Anthony Lynn's the coach, which is very, very possible, because I know they do not want to have to fire him. And if the Jaguars quickly pounce on Urban Meyer, then I'd say that the odds are about 95% that Josh McDaniels is back here next year.
Joe?
Hey, Greg, just real quick, I wanted to ask you what you thought about Sam Darnold today. And obviously we're looking at quarterbacks and possibly the Patriots drafting one. Do you think the Jets will draft a quarterback with that number two pick?
Yeah, I think, Joe, I think those decisions, like a lot of them, I mean, you know, we're all waiting on guys like, you know, Matthew Stafford and Sam Darnold. I mean, there are a lot of puzzle pieces to be fit. You know, with the Lions, it's, you know, who's the GM and the coach. With the Jets, we know that Joe Douglas is going to be there as the GM, but how much influence is the next coach going to have? Is the next coach going to say, you don't have an issue at quarterback? Sam Darnold is absolutely the type of guy that you can win with. And does that make sense to Joe? We just don't know. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens with all those dominoes and how they fall. But, you know, in general about Darnold, I thought today you saw his good and bad. And that's sort of what he's been so far in his career. It depends what you think of the circumstances around him. You know, I don't have a definitive answer. I would just say I think the kid's really talented. I think he makes a lot of throws that the top level quarterbacks do. I think he's a guy that you can definitely win with. You get him out of New York, and yes, Adam Gase is a very good offensive mind, and I would not mind Adam Gase being my offensive coordinator. Head coach is something different, and he's just he as a head coach, there's too many other responsibilities to really really do justice by the quarterback and the offensive system. So I have a hard time judging him on what's going on with the Jets. I think with a better situation, with better coaches, with better players around him, I think he would be very successful. But, you know, who knows?
All right, more coming up with Greg Bernard of BostonSportsJournal.com. You want to join us? 617-779-0985 as the Patriots defeat the Jets 28-14 to finish the season 7-9. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, and then Joe Murray's going to get you caught up with the latest in the headlines and be back right here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
First down and 10 for the pass from the Jets 31. Newton swings it to the right. Catch by Michelle. Good grab on the run to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Sony to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Cam Newton to Sony Michelle, 31-yard touchdown. Part of the Baycoast Bank Catch Recap. Baycoast Bank and Akil Harry teaming up for catches for college to create college scholarships for youth in their community. New England's offense, 22 catches. So Baycoast Bank donating a $1,100 towards college scholarships. They've donated $14,150 this season. Baycoast Bank, do what's just right. Jim Murray and Joe Murray here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Alongside Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Patriots defeat the Jets 28-14. They finish 7-9. And Greg, I guess just given, you know, the lack of talent in this team, the struggles that they had, the play of Cam Newton, is 7-9 kind of an overachievement in a lot of ways?
Well,
I mean, if you based it on what our expectations were going into the season, it's an underachievement. But once we saw the thing play out, like, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of an overachievement, 7-9.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you say that. Now, you know, I'm just of the opinion that, you know, and it's sort of, and I was having this this chat with some of my BSJ members the other day. You know, did it need to be this bad? I think is the question, and how does that factor into the equation? Because I don't think that it did. I mean, I think that the crucial, when we look back on this, the crucial decision, and we'll have to see what happens going forward, was the Joe Tooney franchise tag. That essentially ended any real offseason that they were going to have. Now, there's a chance. Now, if they re-up Joe Tooney and he's an all-pro for, you know, however many years, then great. It worked out and maybe this was worth it. But there's a legit chance if the Patriots are active in front level free agency, if they sign a guy that cancels Tooney out, say he leaves, then there's a chance that they got nothing for him and they paid him $15 million when they could have used that money on Marcus Mariota or Andy Dalton. I mean, actually, they could have used them on a quarterback, certainly a tight end, and possibly another wide receiver, and or, you know, whatever they wanted to do to improve this team. They basically decided not to improve this team with the Joe Tooney franchise tag. And so it's hard for me to say, yeah, I mean, would the roster they ended up with was 7-9 an overachievement or okay? I guess. It's hard for me to say that because I do think that they, if there was more growth out of the passing game, if they had any semblance of tight end play, and I fault them for that, then I think this team could have been 10-6. That they ended up 7-9, you know, I'm sorry, that three-game swing, it didn't need to happen, I don't think. So to me, it's an underachievement.
I agree. Underachievement. There's probably four games they could have won, two games like Arizona, and the Jets went the different way. Overall, though, I don't think they would have made the playoffs. You know, we look at what we see today with, yep, the Colts and other teams. So I think where they finished is right, just the record's not. But just to that, looking ahead here, you know, that you referenced that Albert Breer article from MMQB, and you know, how many foundational pieces does this team have going forward, in your opinion?
I think a few. I mean, I think the offensive line, I mean, even without Tooney, if they can get, they have to get Tooney or Andrews back. I would prefer Andrews because I think you can find guards. I don't think that you can find centers. So if they return, Tooney leaves, they have Wynn or whoever, maybe they draft a tackle, I don't know. But say they have Wynn, Owenu, Andrews, Mason, and a bulked up Justin Huron at right tackle, I think they're pretty good on the offensive line. They're set. Damian Harris, I think, is a starting caliber running back. I think that if Sony Michel is back, he's certainly a capable backup slash, you know, co-number one at running back. We'll have to see with James White, James Taylor. I think their offensive line and backfield is fine. I think that Dante Hightower, I still think, is an upper-level player. You know, we'll have to see on that. Is Lawrence Guy back? If not, they don't have anything on the interior. I don't trust any of the young edge guys, Winovich, Uche, Jennings. I'm not ready to say that they are real players. I think Duggar's going to get there, but I don't know for sure. I think that J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, and a third cornerback who I'm not sure who that's going to be. It could be Miles Bryant. I know he didn't show well today, especially in the middle of the field and in various, especially that one drive. I do think that a guy like D'Angelo Ross from the practice squad is sort of the next sort of unknown guy who will pop in that secondary. So I'm okay with the secondary, the offensive line, the running backs. Outside of that, I have a lot of questions.
So it sounds to me like you think David Andrews is one of the guys they will target, you know, of their own free agents that will return. Do you want to make any other early predictions on who might be back from that crop?
I think Guy's going to come back. I mean, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but I think, you know, one of the crucial decisions, and Belichick even, I think, alluded to it last week, is, you know, and they don't usually set this until right before free agency, right before franchise tags, but like early first or second week in March, and it would behoove them to do it as soon as possible this year, not wait until the last minute. We need to know what the cap number is because it changes the equation a lot. Is it 176? Is that the floor? Or, you know, I've heard, others have reported, there is going to be more of a groundswell for them to keep a flat cap so that there isn't mass casualties, that a lot of teams aren't leaking, to basically bail out a lot of teams. It's going to be basically government bailout for teams that didn't prepare for this, and it's going to kind of screw the Patriots a little bit. But I have a feeling the cap's going to be closer to $200 million, and so will that make guys like a Lawrence Guy more likely to leave? Quite possibly. A tighter cap, I think he's back here. But you know, out of those guys, those are the two big guys that are at the top of my list. I don't know about you guys.
Well, given their lack of depth up front, yeah, I would want to pay Guy. And I think Andrews...
Allen's under contract for next year.
Oh, excellent. It would be nice to finally see him. And Andrews, I think, has been a stud, and I think he's one of the leaders of this team. So, yeah, I have no problem with either of those guys coming back. We have one more segment to go with Greg Rodard of BostonSportsJournal.com. You want to get on with him? 617-779-0985. That's coming up here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Final segment with Greg for the season. Here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Second and two for the Pats. Myers in motion left to right. Shotgun snap to Newton on the read. Cam keeps. He runs to the right side across the 40, 45, 50. And Newton on his feet to the open field 40, 35, 30. One man to beat with a stutter step. He slips the hit at the 15 and eventually is tracked down. Brought to the turf at the 14-yard line. Bryce Hager, a linebacker in pursuit for the Jets, assists on the tackle.
That's one hell of a run right here by Cam Newton.
One of the first downs by the Patriots today. New England converted 23 first downs today. It's another $2,300 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. Find out more for yourself at creditunionskidsatheart.org. Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray. Final time this season with Greg Bernard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Patriots defeat the Jets 28-14. At Gillette Stadium today. Aesthetically, it looked nice, Greg, late. Kind of looked like a snow globe. I'll give them that. They finished 7-9 on the season. I want to go back to some of the potential, you know, coaches leaving this offseason. Is there any buzz that's continued to build for Jerod Mayo? Could he be out the door?
No, not this year. I mean, he might get a couple interviews, and you never know. But that, you know, between you, me, and the listeners, that article in Houston was how do I term this?
Fake.
Let's just say it was a favor to somebody.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so it wasn't, because I was worried too, because I saw it go off and Easterby's there, and I was like, holy crap, is this really possible? And I did some investigating, and it was more of a favor to somebody. And you know, sort of to get ahead of the curve. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody that, you know, saying like, you know, somebody's gonna be a good head coach someday. Andy Benoit did that a few years ago with Sean McVay, and that ended up working. So, I do think he's going to be considered in a couple years. I think he's on a similar path to Mike Vrabel, who only had, 1 year as a defense coordinator in Houston. I don't think that's realistic this year.
Do you think there are other coaches that could come in and help New England? I just brought up Bill O'Brien. I think he might be a guy if Josh McDaniels leaves. He's worked with young quarterbacks in the past and could, ease some, pressure off of Bill Belichick. And the same thing, maybe Matt Patricia on defense as well.
Yeah, I think I would be shocked if Matt Patricia is not back here as the defensive coordinator next year. I haven't heard anything definitive on that. It's just, he might want to talk about spending time with his family, but it's tough for these guys to sit out and then get back in. Almost like, what McDaniels had to go through going to St. Louis and that dreadful team in with the Rams with Spagnuolo. And so I expect Patricia back here. I mean, I think Gase is going to have options. Alabama, is one, and that's been a ready track for everybody who's gone there is basically, talk about the cloak of the Patriots, the cloak of Nick Saban. Like, those guys all go on, they're there for like a couple years, and all of a sudden their careers are revived. So that could be a better option for him than the Patriots. I think O'Brien could be in the mix to come back and work with McDaniels. They're very close. McDaniels is very close with Gase as well. I do think that, there could be some guys coming back. I don't think that there'll be an abundance of guys, but yeah, a few key ones, sure.
Do you think it's going to be a particularly black Monday tomorrow, Greg? Like, a lot of firings of coaches throughout the league?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's, I've been trying to monitor that, and I do think, Marone's out. I think the big one that everybody's looking at is the Chargers. I mean, because, with Justin Herbert there, and they had a lot of injuries this year. I think Anthony Lynn's a great guy, but he's just not a good head coach, and he made way too many mistakes this year, glaring mistakes, and they would really put themselves in a better situation if they looked around, because you got Bosa, you have Perriman, you have Lorenzo, you have Murray, Kenneth Murray at linebacker, you have Derwin James, you have Keenan Allen, if you tag Hunter Henry, he's back. You have to do a lot of work on the offensive line. You have Eckler in the backfield. I mean, that place is designed to win now. And you need a really good coach in that division against the Chiefs. I mean, I think it's a perfect landing spot for Josh McDaniels. He knows how to beat the Chiefs and compete with them after what the Patriots have done with them. But, it's tough to tell. I've been more doing sort of, a little bit more background on the quarterbacks and what teams need. I mean, I think people are underrating how many teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks this year. And I think it's going to be a very crowded marketplace, as opposed to this past year when it wasn't, when there were more quarterbacks for really positions. I think this year it's going to be really tough, because I think there are some situations that are left to play out. Like, the 49ers, there are more reports out there. And Kyle Shanahan is the total guy who will be under the radar and all of a sudden pounce on somebody. And then he cuts Garoppolo, who does have a no trade, but he can wade that. I think one place that nobody's talking about, the Panthers are going to be on the prowl for a quarterback.
They could draft
Teddy Bridgewater
too.
Is not the long-term answer there. They are picking eighth right now in the draft. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be a player. I would be on the lookout for them. And there are other teams, like that. I mean, the Saints, what do they do? Are they just going with Taysom Hill? Or are they going to look at other people? The Steelers need to start with Roethlisberger. The Bucks, Brady is not going to play forever. Yeah. Who's the next guy? The Giants, what do they do? The Falcons, I have a hard time seeing them cutting Matt Ryan. Just way too much dead cap. But and then there are also the teams that just need quarterbacks. So I have almost 17 teams that could be on the lookout for quarterbacks this year.
Hey, just one last thing, Greg, before I let you go. Cam Newton said something at the end of his interview today where he was like, I just wanted to come to this locker room and do the right thing and, do the right thing for this team this year. And I don't know. Tom Brady throws for 40 touchdowns this season. The Patriots don't make the playoffs. you know, this guy replaced Tom Brady. Do you think there was anything to that and why Bill Belichick stuck with him this year and maybe for this year didn't want to lose the locker room and have the right guy in place and do the right things? Do you think there was anything to that this year?
No. I mean, do I think the Brady shadow was part of the equation for them? Yeah, and it was part of the equation when, you know, I was evaluating Cam Newton, and this wasn't early on, he wasn't one of my favorites, but when he was the last guy left, I was like, yeah, hell yeah, go for it. Because if there's any guy who's not going to be bothered by replacing Brady, it's Cam Newton. And I think we saw that. Maybe some of it had to do with no fans in the stands, but I don't think he felt that weight. I think having Cam Newton here deflected a lot of that stuff and allowed the team to, you know, sort of do their business. I mean, they didn't do it well, but I think it was part of the equation. I just don't think it was a major. I still maintain it could have been anybody in that spot. It could have been Jameis Winston if he was the last guy and say Cam went to New Orleans. I think the Patriots were just going to bring in the last guy standing and to give them a veteran option in case things didn't work out.
Greg, before we let you go for the season, you've been covering the NFL for quite a while. You've been in, you've covered Green Bay Packers teams. You've covered the Miami Dolphins, some bad teams there. Is this as mediocre a team that you've covered in all your years covering the NFL?
Yeah, this sort of reminds me of the 2008 Packers team that I covered. So 2007 was Favre's last year.
Yeah. Blow it to the
Giants. They went
to
the NFC Championship game. They were, you know, in a Favre interception away from going to the Super Bowl. And they made the decision, Favre retired, and everybody knows sort of the story about that. But, you know, they went with Rodgers the next season. And the Packers were, if I recall correctly, they were 6-10 that first year with a team that went to the NFC Championship game the year before. And so it reminded me a lot of that, just everything. Nothing worked the way it did the season before. And the Packers were able to, the next year, it continued into the next year. But then the Packers got hot, went to the playoffs, lost in overtime to the Cardinals. And that set the stage for the Super Bowl 2 years out. So, you know, I'm hopeful as a person who covers the Patriots that they're on the same trajectory. But it reminds me a lot of that season I covered.
Well, it's going to be the most interesting offseason for them in the last couple of decades. So you'll be all over it, and make sure you check out all the work at Greg's website, bostonsportsjournal.com. If you haven't subscribed, again, go to bostonsportsjournal.com. We'll talk to you Tuesday on Felger and Maz, right?
Sounds good. Yep. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care. Greg Bedard for the final time this season here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Joe Murray's going to get you caught up with the latest going on in the 4 o'clock games. Patriots finished earlier today 28-14. The win over the Jets, finished 7-9 for the year. But their draft status in the first round still has yet to be determined. So be listening for that Seahawks-Niners score here in the headlines. We'll be back with more of your calls and the game recap from today, that win over the Jets, here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.